go suck a fat one.
I have an addiction to smut. I'm right-handed, but my ball sack is left-sided. Get the B-Man a double cheeseburger. Take the tip and shut up.
Hello, Internet, and welcome to episode 109er of Verbal Graffiti with your host, Brian Glass, a.k.a. the B-Man, the People's Degenerate. If you are listening and watching right now, you might notice or not notice that I have a dog in the screen. That is Maui, co-host for this episode, a 109er. And that is why I'm all discombobulated and dressed like a slob. Because although I love Maui, as a golden retriever in the middle of winter, he's got that winter coat on. And it is shedding everywhere. If you could see my crotch right now, if you're watching on YouTube, I'm probably about a third golden retriever right now. That's how much of Maui's fur that is on me. And that's why I'm dressed like a homeless person who has not been outside in 3 days and has the flu and is trying to abstain from seeing sunlight. Oh, as he drinks my cup of water right there. All right. This is why the B-Man doesn't have co-hosts, because this brain is all I can control. Whenever I get another brain, and I'm talking like a golden retriever brain, which is what, like a fourth the size of human brain, I am not able to contain him or his or her actions. That's why I don't have a co-host and why I never have guests. And also, I can't afford another mic and or don't have the space for it. Studio space, that is. All right, now Maui is dry humping my sheets. Definitely a male dog. Huh? No one really humps like a full-size, 100-plus-pound dog. Sometimes I see Maui hump my sheets, and I think, how can you be attracted? Now I understand why most babes don't want to have intercourse with men. I mean, I see my co-host Maui, hump my sheet, dry humping right now. He looks so pathetic, it's a lot. How do you not, when a guy's on top of you, just humping away, how do you not laugh at him in the face? Are you really that we really need to give the babes more credit for that, not laughing at us as we hump them, if you're lucky enough to be humping these days. All right. When was the last time you had a victory, a real victory, at the hut, victory formation in your lifetime? Because I've been seeing them all over the place of late. I went to a UConn basketball game. They won. I watched the Super Bowl. My nephew's plays high school basketball. I've been to a couple games where he won. And it's like, man, it just seems so fun. Winning, victory. The sweet taste of, the clock goes 0-0 after time expires, if you know, and just that sense of accomplishment you get when you win and you can cheer with your teammates. The last time I won anything, I honestly don't know. I don't play competitive sports. I haven't played slow pitch beer league softball in perhaps over almost 10 years now, so I've gone maybe a decade without winning. Right? And everyone on the internet said, you got to have self-confidence. That's how you succeed in life. That's how you get the bag. That's how you get the babe. That's how you get the riches. You got to have confidence. Fake it till you make it. Well, if I haven't won anything in the last decade since Bush was in office, how am I supposed to fake it? Like, I don't even know what I'm supposed to fake because it's been so long. So I don't even know what that feeling is like. But when I saw my nephew win a game and I saw the UConn basketball team, it was like, oh, man, I forgot that sensation that you get, that thrill, that dopamine rush when you have an objective and you go out and you grab it. You get it. You take victory from defeat and you cheer with the boys. I haven't had that in... Honestly, I think the last time I may have won anything is they going to Wendy's, buying a 10-piece chicken nugget, and there being an 11th nugget in the 10-piece, and oh, I got one for free. That is the last thing where I got a little giddy, a little step in me, a little hop in my step. That's the thing where I felt like, yeah, I'm winning. But I mean, any real accomplishment? Haven't gotten here. Not the B-man. Don't know. You want to get it? All right. Well, I'm a loser. Mal is clearly a winner because he is alpha of my entire studio here because he's just left his mark everywhere. Not via pee, just via fur and slob and just licking everything. Oh, all right. So let's get to Reddit. This might be a quicker episode because Maui is difficult to tame at certain times, and he apparently likes the camera. All right, this one comes from the subreddit, Edging Talk. What if you saw Gunnar bulges and wet spots in public? I wish it was acceptable to openly be hard and wet in public. I love the thought of everyone seeing how horny I am. Walking around with an obvious dick print, throbbing, and pre-cum soaking through. I hate that you have to hide it in public. Sometimes I'll leave it alone if it's not too obvious. Just a vague outline of a dick print or suggestive bulge. I think I caught a girl's eyes travel down to my bulge while at the gym yesterday, and it made me have to stroke in my car. I think I'll wear tighter sweatpants today. Well, hey, congratulations for you for stroking it in your vehicle without being caught by the police. So a good one on you. I completely agree. Now, I'm not going to take to the streets and protest with you that us gentlemen, us chivalry men in the year 2025 should be allowed to express ourselves with our bulges in public outside of our houses. But I'm part of the silent majority that is rooting for this cause. It is cruel and unusual punishment that we as men are only allowed to masturbate in the privacy of our own homes, and in many cases, actually, the privacy of our own bedrooms. And even then, if you rent a place to live and you share a room with a guy that you met off of a Craigslist, the only time you're really allowed to masturbate is when your roommate is working his shift at Popeyes, so you are home alone in your bedroom alone. And when you really the day, 24 hours, you're sleeping 8 hours if you're healthy. The amount of time you actually spend in your bedroom awake alone, maybe 45 minutes a day? And that's the only time we're allowed to show our bulge, show our manhood, and masturbate? Yes, that is cruel and unusual punishment. I think that'd be hard. It'd be hard-pressed, as I catch some fur right now, to disagree with that statement that I just made in my Redditor post here, who just posted right here, who is also a huge fan of After Time Expires, if you know, you know, and Verbal Graffiti. I'm having some flashbacks right now. But yeah, I also think we need to make an addendum to a certain law. If you get caught masturbating in the privacy of your own vehicle by a police officer, you could be on a sexual offender list for the rest of your life. I believe there needs to be an addendum to that law that states if your windows are tinted, you should be allowed to masturbate in the privacy of your own vehicle, because if you were able to pay for those tinted windows, you should be able to take advantage of those tinted windows. Yes, I just say, hey, if your windows are just clear, regular, and you're yanking it in your car, absolutely, that's perverted. You need to get a ticket and be on a list for that. But if the windows are tinted, right, you were thinking, you put some thought into what you may do in that car. So I think we as a public should give you, the car jerker offer, the benefit of the doubt. That's just the B-man. That's what I think. But absolutely, the way people dress today, especially at the gym, It's nearly impossible to hide your bulge, especially if you're a younger man with the testosterone through the roof. You go to the gym today, and I don't because I have these noodly arms, but if you go to the gym, the babes are basically wearing OnlyFans attire, right? They're basically, they're going to the gym the same way they would dress if they go to some club in Las Vegas or some strip club. They're wearing a sports bra. They're wearing neon-color yoga pants with that pulls into their butthole where you can see their thong underneath the neon yoga pants. And now they have those yoga pants where it, like, presses into your butthole. I don't know how that's comfortable, but it seems like every time there is a new lady, babe, workout, yoga attire, it goes more into the butthole than the previous year's model. I thought with the G-string that we had figured out a way to get all the way into the butt crack of females, but the new brands of yoga pants, workout attire, they are finding new ways to get into that crevice. So all of us Johns, who are just trying to hide our bulge and keep our thing from getting bulge, it's making it nearly impossible. It is entrapment. Honestly, think about, all right, now this is what a lot of people call a spring, like that season, spring. I call it upskirt season. All right, when I see a lady during upskirt season wearing a sundress with nothing but a thong underneath, you expect me not to get a bulge while noticing that? When I don't get a bulge in my pants, I should be getting a Purple Star Medal of Honor. I mean, I should get the keys to the city for being able to control my anatomy when a lady in a sundress in nothing but a thong underneath walks past me. That's how strong I feel about being able to get your bulge in public. I am so on board with this Redditor and his post that, you know, I'm very proud of myself. The B-Man, I will say, I don't get bulges in public anymore. And that's not because my lack of pervertedness. I believe that it's more so because of my age. I'm 40. I'm not popping as many random woodies as I used to. Because when I was in high school and college, when I was an undergrad at UConn, I walk around campus a lot wearing gym shorts and basketball shorts. And I'd say if I was awake 16 hours a day, I was popping a woody at least once an hour. And this wasn't a subtle bulge. This was full on bulge. Especially you're walking around college, you're 19, you're 20, T-level through the roof, college co-eds, babes are wearing those short booty shorts at the time. They had the words like cutie, juicy across the back on their butt cheeks. I had to tuck my woody inside the waistband of my shorts as I walked across campus nearly every day when it wasn't freezing outside. The precarious positions I had to put myself in, to put the B-Man in, to avoid any others of having discomfort from seeing my bulge. Again, I deserve a Purple Heart, some type of military award medal that I could hang on the wall for hiding my bulge while it was throbbing. So, I was giving myself discomfort so that others wouldn't have to be discomforted seeing Mr. Perfect or the outside of the bulge of him. And I know I'm not alone because I've talked about this with all my other friends. And when you're that age, right, when you're, puberty through mid-20s, those boners, they come and go. It's like popping Tylenol. They just come, they go. You really have no control over it, especially, you know, if there's somebody or something that you're attracted to, it's going to pop off. Even when you're not attracted, you'd be in anthropology 101, and you'd be talking about some rocks in Greece, and just you'd get a boner. And you'd be like, how did this happen? How did this happen? Because you're young, you're spry, you're healthy, and A lot of the babes say they love guys who wear gray sweatpants. It's because they can see the bulge, the outline of the wiener through the sweatpants. So I do have this inclination that although the babes, they don't want to see everybody's bulge all the time, and they'd never admit it to their family and friends and during their Monday morning Teams meeting with their supervisor. But when the babes are out Thursday night getting those overpriced, those espresso martinis that are $16 that barely have any alcohol in them. Yeah, four of your gals out, happy hour, Thursday evening. Once you throw back a couple of those espresso martinis, I have an inclination that those babes, all you babes, would admit that, yeah, I would like to see a few more bulges throughout the month of those guys wearing their Wrangler jeans. It would be nice to see a few more bulges, at the gym or at the park or at the beach or whatever, in the office, right, with the coworkers. I'm just saying. That's the problem with men. Right, I think that the babes making this proclamation with their girlfriends, if you could give them a truth serum and give it out to the public, they would agree. I want to see more bulge from the studs throughout the month. But this is the problem with those Johns, with those men, with us perverted species. We're XX chromosomes. That here's the problem with the extra X chromosome. If the babes made this proclamation that they would, I wouldn't mind seeing a few more bulges. That's where the men, we always take it too far. That's why the babes would never make that statement in public to women and guys outside of their close friendship, because we would take it to where this Redditor post took it. Because not only, you want to see our bulge? Well, what about our pre-cum? Because look at my pants right now. I got a little wet mark, and I'm letting all the babes know that I got pre-cum. And that's the problem with us Johns. You give us a little, we're showing you our pre-cum through wet marks on our Wrangler jeans. And that's why we can't have bulges in public. Because if we did, there'd be pre-cum, there'd be stains on all our secondhand jeans, our trousers, and nobody wants that. Not even the babes. You may love pre-cum if you're a babe, but you do not like random John pre-cum. You like your man or the man you want to be with or dream of being with pre-cum. But regular John, like the B-man and all the other spectators of Verbal Graffiti, everyone else who enjoys this project, you don't want to see that pre-cum. And that's that Redditor's post right here that I just read. That's the problem with the male genders. You give us a little, and we take advantage of that little you give us, and we turn it into I won't say a sexual crime, but it's a sexual misdeed, right? Showing pre-cum or the stain of your pre-cum in your pants. But yeah, that's why, although I do agree 100% with this poster, and I wish I could show my bulges in public when they do arise, it's why we can't, and it's why I had to hide my shaft underneath my waistband when I walked across the UConn campus every day as an undergrad, is because I know once you're allowed to show the bulge, the guys are going to push it till we can have pre-cum in public outside of our house and outside of our bedrooms. And of course, we cannot under any circumstances be allowed to do that under federal law and state law. That cannot be allowed. Although I would love to live in a world where the men could show their bulge, because today there's so many men have low levels of T, T being testosterone. I'm not sure if that's because of our diets or because of we have our phones like right next to our junk all day long, or if it's the microplastics that we're intaking, or the 5G, whatever it is, we have low testosterone levels. And I'm not a scientist, I'm not a doctor, but shoving your bulge down when you get one in public and crossing your legs and doing whatever you have to hide it from others, that can't be good for your health. That cannot be good for the penis long term. So we're doing an injustice to our own groin, our own genitals by hiding our bulges. But again, you gotta hide it because once one man starts showing his bulge, it's a puddle pre-cum right by the free weights at the gym at Planet Fitness. So we can't be having that. But again, in a dream world, I'm with you. I'd be showing my bulge in public. But like the little sheep that I am, I keep it to the privacy of my own bedroom. So, let's go look at some photos. Welcome back to segment 2 of episode 110. That is right, the B-Man, I miscount. This is not episode 109. It is episode 110. Yes, 10 episodes into triple digits. It is already proving to be problematic. The B-Man, that is, trying to count correctly as Maui steps all over my audio equipment and I just pick my nose. We're off to a hot start here. Second segment of episode 110. All right, let's get, it's hard to be angry when Maui's sniffing my crotch with her hot mouth. That sounds very perverted. It's such a joy having Maui with me. But there was an event 2 nights ago that irked me, that sent my blood raging, and it had nothing to do with me. I was doing stand-up comedy. That's where almost all my stories began. And I was sitting next to my friend Christian, who does stand-up, but he's a doobie head. He smokes a lot of weed, and I like the smell of marijuana when it's being passed around and the wind is blowing, and you smell it, and it goes away. But when I'm seated next to somebody who has the weed cologne, it just emanates from their skin, from their, from their hoodie, and it's constantly there. I had to move. I told Chris, I go, listen, love you. Think you're a great comic. I'm friends with you, but your smell of weed, that cologne you have on right now from smoking outside before you came inside, I got to get away. So I went to the other side of the bar, and I was in a booth by myself because for whatever reason, I have a resting John face. Other strangers do not want to be seated next to me. I think it's because of this resting John face. Oh, Maui. But I was there, and in the booth next to me, there was a gay man who also does stand-up comedy. I know him vaguely. And then, he did his set. He sat back down, and then a heterosexual woman came up to him. And she was saying goodbye, but instead of shaking his hand or giving him the peace sign or the bump or the dapping it up or that fake hug thing, no, she patted him on top of the head like I'm doing right now with Maui. Just gave this gay man a little pat on the head like he was her golden retriever. And when I saw that, it gave me rage. Like, and I wanted to mentally stab her. I would not actually stab her with a steak knife. But when I saw I know I've spoken about this many a time before here at Verbal Graffiti, but the relationship between heterosexual white female, for the most part, and gay man, I do not understand it. If I was a gay guy, it would, like, I'd push her down. Like, if you patted me on top of the head as a goodbye, pushing you down a stairwell. Now, I know we don't advocate hitting or injuring women here, babes, here at Verbal Graffiti, but I do believe if you're a gay man, you should be allowed to hit a straight woman. Now, you still need to be penalized for that. Instead of doing 15 years in prison for a violence against a female, How about half, six, seven years in prison? You get out after three with good behavior. If that gay man had pushed that straight woman down, hey, don't you fucking pat me on the head. Absolutely. I would have lied for him under oath. I don't understand what the gay man, and I think this is also a projection of myself. I need to find some more diverse friends, because all my friends are bros who watch sports, are either black, white, Hispanic. I don't really have many homosexual friends. I do know homosexuals. I am friendly with homosexuals, but there really aren't many or any homosexual men that I would consider a dear friend of me, the B-man. So maybe I need to change that up so I could find the answers of these questions instead of asking them to the internet and possibly getting myself in trouble for doing so as Maui tries to, do a hip stop. Oh, look at that. He gave me the paw. How can I be angry right now when Maui's giving me the paw, licking my hands, play? But I am still angry at that lady who patted that gay man on. You know what it is? It's an invasion of their space. If you're the gay man, it's a gay community. Why do you willingly have straight heterosexual females into your bunker, into your space, into your trenches? Why do you allow that? I don't understand. What are the benefits of having these annoying females to just party with you and dance? And what are you getting out of it? Are there any gay men who can let me know down in the comments? What do you get out of having these hanger-ons that are these heterosexual females invading your party places? There are so many times, and I've said this before, if you're a lady and your best friend is a gay man, there is something about me that makes me distrustful of you. It's just, it's like you want the man, but you don't want the masculinity. And I'm not saying gay men aren't masculine. Maybe I am, but that's not the way I intended it to come across. It's just, I don't understand. Like, if you're we weren't at a gay bar, but sometimes I've been to gay bars and there will be these straight ladies there. And I know because it's the straight ladies that bring me to the gay bar. I'm like, well, what are you doing here? You're a straight lady. I understand why you want to be here, because all the straights ladies love the gay men. Now, I don't understand the other half of that equation. Why do the gay men love the straight ladies? I don't get it. I need to be enlightened. I need someone to teach me. This is the B-man. However, I could have an entire gay community teach me as to why they enjoy straight ladies hanging out with them, and I'd have so much pent up anger towards the heterosexual females that I could have 1,000 gay men tell me, no, this is why we love it. I reckon, no, all 1,000 of you are wrong. The B-man is correct. And I'd die on that hill. And obviously I would die because there are 1,000 of you and only one of me. And I am not Jon Snow. I do not get multiple lives. I don't know. I mean, I'm assuming I don't get multiple lives. And that's the way I'm living my life. But yeah, that does. As I just seen, maybe it has nothing to do with gender or sexuality, but just seeing one adult pat another adult on top of the head as a goodbye, it's such a degrading act that it needs to be called out. The B-man needs to be better. I should have called it out in that moment when it happened. I didn't, because I'm passive aggressive and I don't like getting in altercations. But the patting someone on the head, that's something you do to a child. A third grader who passes their first algebra equation. I was like, oh, good for you. You can do division. You don't do that to another adult. Oh, goodbye. I'm leaving, Mal. You do it to a pet. You do it to a child. You do not pat the head from one adult to another. That is grounds for violence.
Let's go to a lighter topic I found on Reddit. Comes from, this is kind of a theme here. Okay, comes from the subreddit Moral Dilemmas. My mic is on. Found out girl I'm hooking up on a cruise has a boyfriend. Whoa, Nelly. I've been on this cruise for a week. That's way too long. On day two, I started having sex with this beautiful girl. Good for you. After the first time, we continually hooked up several times a day for the rest of the cruise. If only we all could be so lucky. Now, on the last day of the cruise, I have found out she has a very serious boyfriend back home. If I'm being honest, I'm not emotionally attached to her and did not intend on seeing her again, but I still looked her up on social media through her phone number and found that 12 hours ago, she posted an appreciation post to her boyfriend on TikTok. Crazy part is, 12 hours ago, she was spending the night in my room. 6 hours ago, we were hooking up again. And 2 hours ago, we hooked up for the last time before leaving the cruise. Love cruise, that is. I've been cheated on before and it sucked. But also, I don't know if I should get involved. Currently, I feel morally horrible because that's not something I would ever do, knowing the other person is in a supposedly committed relationship. Should I DM direct message the boyfriend? Well, we will get to what you should do, or more importantly, what you should not do with this boyfriend. But I'm calling out bullshit ASAP. You are absolutely emotionally involved with this lady that you've been dicking down on this cruise ship for the past week. You cannot tell me you're not emotionally involved with this lady that you met on a cruise and are having sex with, when the first thing you did when you stepped foot back on American soil is look her up on social media. That is exhibit A, that you were absolutely emotionally invested in this floozy, this cheating whore that you met on this cruise and hooked up with 3 times per day for 7 days. Before you found out she had a boyfriend, or currently has a boyfriend, you were intending on reaching out to her via social media, DMing this lady to try to keep the good times going. B-Man, I do not blame you for doing that. What I will blame you for, or feeling that way, I should say, what I do blame you for is going on a 7-day cruise, way too long, way too fucking long to be in international waters. Again, we know, B-Man, anyone who is a fan of verbal graffiti, we are not cruise people. You should never go on a cruise. But if you have to, 5 days, 4 nights max. Absolute max. You went 7. That's what you should be more concerned with the most, more than having sex with a cheating whore. What should you do now? Let's move on to the question at large. Should you contact the boyfriend via DM? Via TikTok or social media? Absolutely not. Do not get involved. Wash your hands and your scrotum with antibacterial soap and let that be. And don't get involved. And also get tested for gonorrhea, because you might have that. Those are two things you should do or not do. As Maui agrees. Maui's fired up. Do not get involved. We know. Then what are you going to do? What are you going to say in the DM to the boyfriend that you cheated on his girlfriend with? What are you going to go? Hey, boyfriend, I know you don't know me, but 2 days ago when your girlfriend told you she was at Atlantis, she was actually in my room 307 as I was dicking her down and leaving handprints on her ass cheeks. Is that what you're going to tell him? What do you... you can't do that. You know? And honestly, When you're in international waters, you know, there are no laws pertaining to relationships. Now, I'm not saying this whore of a cheater is in the right for cheating on her man while in international waters. But if you're going to cheat on your partner, doing so while on vacation, on a cruise, in international waters might be the best place to do it. Because again, she's cheating with you, somebody who is not in her social circle or her man boyfriend's social circle. So in that case, she'll probably never see you again. Because, you know, you're not supposed to reach out to her on social media anymore. This was a 7-day wash your hands, be free of it. And it's not someone they're going to run into in their everyday life. So as far as cheating is concerned, it is the cleanest and respectful of the cheating ways. So yeah, you cannot get involved because nothing good's going to come of it. Honestly, the boyfriend... Probably when the girlfriend gets back from the vacation, gets back on American soil, the boyfriend's probably going to have just a little inclination that something's off, that maybe something went awry while his lady was on the cruise ship. And honestly, he'll probably be more upset that his lady gained 15 pounds this past week because all she was drinking was a blue-colored cocktails and fried chicken and prime rib twice a day. So that extra cruise weight, he's going to be pissed about that. But it's part of the game. You didn't know she was a cheating whore when you've been dicking her down in international waters for the last week. Yeah, now you did some snoop work. You did some investigative work. You found out. Yeah. This wasn't a great, burgeoning relationship. She's a cheating whore, right? That's who fucks three times with a stranger per day while on a cruise, right? Everyone else who's not a cheating whore, they go to the ports. They go sightseeing in whatever island you're on. The cheating whores are the one who stay on the ship and get dicked down by somebody they met 48 hours ago. That's a game. Let it be. Just be thankful they don't have kids. Hopefully the relationship breaks apart before they have kids, and then the guy finds photos or whatever, finds out that his girlfriend or wife and mother of his children is a cheating whore. Now, a tip of my penis to you. Because I'm jealous of you. Because I've gone out with the boys. I've gone on vacation with the boys, the bachelor parties. And I go there with dreams of being you, the guy who gets his dick wet all week long. Never happened to me. Never happened to anybody else who is a fan, listener, viewer of Verbal Graffiti. We go there with the condoms with the intention of getting the maid of honor to come back to her Airbnb. Never happens. End up sleeping in the air mattress in the living room, listening to 311 as I fall asleep. But so just be thankful that you are the alpha Chad. You are that person. So it's not like you're going to have problems finding partners in the future. I'm always getting a little anxious, so I got to move it along. Learn from this experience, though. That's what I want to finish off this segment with. Learn from this experience, because you, as a Chad, as a guy who's able to get babes on cruises to have intercourse with numerous times a day, you will have girlfriends and possibly a wife in the future. So when your wife comes to you and goes, hey, I want to go on a girls' trip with the girls from my friends from college, the sorority girls. We want to go on a cruise, or heaven forbid, Las Vegas. Absolutely not. You cannot allow it. You tell your wife, you tell her, hey, you can take all your clothing, put all your clothing in the suitcases, because if you go to Vegas with your girlfriends, you are not allowed back in my studio apartment. This relationship, this marriage, this family is over. Because that's what ladies do when they go on girls' trips. They cheat on their boyfriends. That's why they book the girl vacation. And I don't blame them. It's part of the feminine makeup. When you go away, you stray. As guys, we would stray, but we're Johns. We don't know how to pull, so we just dream about it. We don't actually do it. You girls,
Who, especially going to Vegas. Sorry, I'm a little discombobulated right now. Look, you're cheating horse when you go on vacation. That's just the way it is. I'm not hating on you for it, but just, you know, just learn from this. Do not allow your wife, future wife, to go on the girls' trips, because she'll turn into what the girl, the floozy you were on this cruise ship with. She'll be that role with another Chad. So don't. And that goes to all the guys out there. Do not let your ladies go on a girls trip, especially with ex college roommates. They're gonna stray. All right. Enough of that. Let's continue reading A Salesman's Wife by John Lawrence. You want to do a little lullaby sleep time, Maui? Ooh, yeah, you like the sound of that. What are we? Are we on page 90? We are. I thought we were fast. I said, really? All right. Should we? I feel like we should be further. No. All right, I guess we're on the top of page 89. Without taking his eyes from her lush form, the young salesman began to strip also. And soon he stood before her completely naked, his cock swollen with passion, his balls tightening in anticipation. Slowly, as if in a dream, the two naked, debauched lovers walked toward each other, their eyes glazed with torrid desire. They embraced urgently, clutching each other's nakedly hot bodies with total abandon. Stella loved the muscular hardness of his powerful frame, and her hands roamed eagerly over every part. His back, his shoulders, his hips, his buttocks. She gripped the hard flesh hungrily, as if she could devour it with her hands. "There's not an ounce of fat anywhere," she whispered excitedly. "I love your body. I love it." Alan was shaking with hot desire as he ran his hands over the satin smooth skin of her cream white sculptured body. He kneaded for her soft, pliant breast, reveling in the resiliency, and squeezed the nipples until they tightened and grew hard as rubber. Then he slid his hands down to grip the sleekly blooming curves of her hips as Stella thrust her pelvis back and forth, inviting his throbbing cock to under-dreamed-of realms of erotic delight. His blood and coarse, swollen shaft stood quiveringly erect, hard as a rock, yearning to plunge into her wet pussy. Stella clasped his huge tool with her hands and skillfully pulled back the soft foreskin to expose the charged, rubbery head, teasing it with her nimble fingers, rubbing and shaking it with artful moves that drove Alan into a frenzy of sensuality. "Oh, oh!" he groaned. Quickly, his hand found the curling strands of pubic hair that surrounded her warm, vaginal slit, and his fingers snaked teasingly into the moist flesh, exploring every inch of her moist, vaginal slit. As his fingers roamed lewdly, she cried out in pleasure and then gasped as he found a tender clitoris and pressed it, making it harden while he massaged it eagerly. Stella gripped his swollen cock tightly and began to jerk it up and down as the young husband thrilled her beyond words with his artful fingering. Then he moved away from the hardened bud of her clitoris until his fingers found the wetly puckered ring of her cunt. He explored it for a moment, inserting his middle finger into the creamy, throbbing hole, and then with one brutal stroke, he shoved his finger in completely. "Yes!" she cried, as his sudden thrust produced a throbbing mixture of pain and delight. She opened her legs wide to receive his lewdly invading finger. "Yes!" Hungrily, Alan slid his middle finger into the deep, moist interior of her cuntal sheath, twisted and probed, widening the eager walls as she screwed herself down onto his hard, impaling finger, moaningly happily, while she continued to jerk his cock up and down with her hands. Go suck a fat one.